The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, hello and welcome to this continuing series on insight. And this has been a central part of insight meditation. And these last, maybe this is the 10, 12, 12, 13 days, the focus has been on insight into not self. And I underscore the word not, because sometimes what's taught is the Buddha said there's no self. There is no self. He never said that. The only time he referred to this idea of there is no self, he did it to denounce it, to say that this just brings suffering, that the idea to hold on, this, there is no self. But so I haven't really completely addressed this topic of how the Buddha presents not self. But what I have been doing all these time is trying to point out how much selfing activity our minds are involved in, how much we impute, how much we build, make up, assert, overlay, create ideas about self. So conceit is kind of one of the big ones. There's nothing inherent in life that requires a human being who walks the planet to have conceit, but that can be quite strong and intense. And it's possible to not have that conceit. Conceit is an extra addition. And so a lot of this selfing is an activity of the mind around this notion of self. Self-criticism, shame, embarrassment, around me, myself, and mine. And so to look at all these different ways, activities of selfing that we do, and understand when we're doing it unnecessarily, when we're doing it in ways that cause us suffering, cause us pain, when we do it and cause other people suffering and pain. This is part of the function of insight meditation, and seeing all the extra, all the creativity in creating a self, building a self, making a self, defending a self, and how much of that is extra, we begin finding an alternative to that. We begin finding that we can be more peaceful. We can be not so actively involved in creating something, creating a self, asserting a self, proving a self, all kinds of things we do. And we can take a vacation from it. We can take a pause to make it a little bit sacred. We can call it a sacred Sabbath. From the activity of selfing, the doing of self. And as we do that, then we don't recognize there is no self, but we can recognize that in certain experiences, in certain ways of being, in certain forms of awareness, certain things we're aware of, there's no self. And so, in this wonderful bell we have here at IMC, as the main teacher at IMC, I can almost feel like this is mine, and it's important that I have it, and probably when I retire, if I ever retire, the person who gave it to IMC kind of gave it to me, so it's mine, and I will take it, and it's really important part of my identity, and of course I have to have it. There's so much I and me and mine in that. And it's to really be mindful and really quiet and attentive, you can feel how tiring that is. Maybe even some of you get a sense of that because maybe just tiring me being so silly and saying this kind of over and over, me, mine, myself around this bell. Just hearing it is kind of jarring sometimes. And so to put that down and just have the bell be bell. There's no Gil in the bell. There's no self in the bell. It's just bell. And to take a vacation from being preoccupied by this bell. And just to find if I do that, rather than thinking about it all day and planning and wanting and fantasizing about what the bell will do for me, wow, it's so nice not to have that preoccupation. It's peaceful. And that peace is wonderful. Now I can start then want that peace, that peace is me, that peace is mine, that peace is proves that I'm a wonderful person, I got to tell people about my peace. I have the peace of not selfing, and I want to show you how great I am because of that. So immediately we're kind of trying to recruit the self, the peace into the selfing project. It's also possible to gaze upon the peace and see there's no self in that peace. There's not no self to apply, to impute. There's no need to make a self or invent a self or make a decision of whether there is or not a self in that. We can gaze upon the peace with no self needed. And a person might say, there's peace, but that's not myself. It's just peace. And so as we settle in deeper and deeper meditation, and this is one of the advantages of really becoming calm and settled, we take more and more vacation from selfing, more and more vacation, and we start seeing the subtle ways in which we are involved in this is myself, this is mine, I am this, and we realize we don't need to do that. And at some point, it becomes really clear in deep meditation, and sometimes in daily life, if we go to the beach, or we have a wonderful nap, or maybe sometimes in lovemaking, it can happen for some people, where there's a feeling that self just disappears. Self-activity disappears. And what some people will do is decide philosophically, wow, this is the true way of being. And really, truly, there is no self. Because in this lack of all this activity. And the Buddha doesn't want to go that far to make that kind of philosophical full conclusion. He always takes it much the simple route. That there's peace. In there's the absence of selfing. But there is no self in the peace. There is no self in the spaciousness. We don't see a self in awareness. But then to impute, well, that's the true self, then we've added something not needed. If we say it's mine, we've added something not needed. But to gaze upon different things and see no self in it, to not recruit it into the self project, gives us a vacation, gives us a pause, gives us an alternative. And some people find it very disconcerting, disorienting, because the way some people find them, make themselves safe in the world, know who they are in relation to other people, is completely connected to their self-concept, their self-identity, that they're constantly creating, constantly reinforcing, constantly using as the medium through which to make themselves safe and known in the world, make themselves loved, know that they're loved in the world or something. And so to have that fall away and not be making, you know, not be seeing the world through the lens of me, myself, and mine, can be quite frightening for some people. But what's the opportunity, the possibility of meditation is hopefully where we meditate is safe, where we meditate is kind of nice and comfortable, and that slowly over time we start feeling more and more safe, comfortable, and at ease without imputing self, without playing the self game and involved in self. And something deep, deep, deep begins to settle and relax. And that deeper and deeper settling is partly a freeing from this selfing, self-preoccupation, self-creation, including the, and we might have experiences more and more there in that experience, in this experience, there is no self. Wow, what a vacation, how nice it is. And some people get attached to it. Some people want to make great philosophical conclusion. This is the true way of being. We're supposed to be this way. And we're not supposed to create any self or have any self operating. We're supposed to just kind of dwell in this space where there's no, this particular activity of selfing doesn't occur. I don't think that's the teachings of the Buddha. I don't think that that's wise. That's just to get attached. That's to select something out of the whole. We are full, complex human beings. And of course, we do some selfing. Of course, we have self-understanding. Of course, we understand who we are in relationship to other people, to our culture, to other cultures, to roles we have, to situations we have. Of course, we need to be concerned about all kinds of things about how we are, what things we do, what we say, the impact they have, impact it has on ourselves. And so some of the roles of self, some of the activity of self can occur quite innocently without a lot of suffering. We don't have to stop selfing. But the deep vacation from selfing, the deep seeing and resting in an experience that feels like there's no self there, gives us a much clearer window, view of how we pick up self, how we are involved in this whole self thing that's kind of needed to get around in our social life, and to do it lightly, to do it clearly aware that we're putting on a role, we're interpreting something ourselves in a particular way, given a certain context, who we are as a self, and how we understand ourselves might be very different if we go into a preschool class to play with the kids than if we go to, I don't know what, to the mechanic to get our car fixed. So the shifting, changing landscape of self, we're more fluid, more at ease, more willing to shift and change and not hold on to things, appreciating how it's so much of it is just created. And we can be part of that creation. We can be creative and even fun and playful in this notion of self and how we hold it while being sincere and authentic enough and free. So to give yourself a vacation from selfing, not as an abandoning of anything, not as a betrayal of anything, but as a way to come and live in the world more fully, refreshed, clear, with better understanding, and a better capacity to support and care for others. So maybe if this, some of what I said today is relevant for you, some of what I said today is understandable by you, you have a reference for this, see through the day today, for the next 24 hours, when you're awake, see if you can find opportunities to have a vacation from your self-concern, knowing that you can pick it up when it's really necessary. And see how deeply the mind and the heart can rest, can be refreshed, can be freed when it's not always under the in the shadow or in the, you know, in the grip of selfing. So I hope you can enjoy that which has no self in it for these next 24 hours. Thank you.